Hey everyone, this is Mindy and Chloe from Love Your Space, and you're listening to the Growing Up Tidy podcast.
We are a mother-daughter duo sharing real talk about the connection between clutter and mental health.
Today we're talking about the effects of overbuying and the psychology of clutter, which connects us directly to our Foundation of Clutter course, which is entirely free and you can access on our website.
Clutter has become a thing, and how people have got to a point now where they're reevaluating.
With every trend and fad that we experience, right? It's almost like back in the 60s, 70s, everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. The big house, and think about what they even looked like back in the 70s, right? I mean, it's beautiful, the character and the design and everything.
Families were more dual income. So it's like, well, let's get a bigger house. Now we have a little bit more money. Let's get a bigger house. So we all got bigger houses. And then what happened is accessibility of shopping got so great that, and we had these bigger spaces, we just start filling them up with all this stuff.
And now we're to the point where we see it's almost completely flipped the switch.
We're going back to 983 square feet.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden, we're not only realizing how much it's implicating us, but there is a trend in itself just on minimalism. Like, I watched an episode of Family Guy a few months ago where Lois gets rid of virtually every single thing in her house. And that's a joke, right? But that's a joke because all of a sudden we have shows about organization. All of a sudden people are, I mean, we've been doing this. I'm only 19 years old. You've been doing this. Your mother's been doing this. You know what I mean? For most people, this has never been a way of life. It's a trend.
Yes.
And so what's going on is right now it's just trendy to build the tiny home, to build the smaller house.
To buy the pretty organizing products.
To take the Pinterest picture with three things on my desk. It's almost like it's not even about what works for you. It's,
right.
It's like just following the bandwagon, right?
Yes. But I do love that although they may not recognize that there will be spin-off benefits to that, and they think they're doing it because it's, you know, the new look. I think about here, excuse me, I know I've shared before about reducing the amount of stuff that I have to manage to make it so that if the dishes are needing to be done, for example, I know that I will only have this maximum number of dishes to wash, even if they're all dirty, because I've set a boundary around how many I'm willing to get dirty.
Before you remove those dishes, how are you feeling? Even after a day or two, it's already piled up everywhere.
It was
defeating. You're feeling stressed. You're feeling like you want to procrastinate it probably because you don't even want to dip into that. It's overwhelming.
I feel like I've lost.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I won last night when I did them, but gee, now they're all backed up again. Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
Because the more you have available in the cabinet, the longer you can wait between washes.
And that's how these people are feeling, but about everything around them. And that's a big thing that I feel like people don't realize with clutter. It's not just affecting the way your space looks. It's affecting how you function and how you feel in your head. Like, walking into a cluttered space, it's overwhelming.
It is.
You don't want to be there.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stressful. And actually stressful enough that physiologically there is a change going on in your brain. Your body's, or your brain rather, reading that as a stressor. So your cortisol goes up. And your cortisol is a stress hormone. So every time you walk into a room that's really stressed out, like let's say it's the office, because you dump in the office. So you go in the office, you kind of hold your breath before you go in even, because you know what's behind that door. And then when your brain sees it and registers what's going on, your cortisol spikes. Even people, there have been scientific experiments or tests and put people, especially females, in a room where it is cluttered, even the ones who say they like it that way, their cortisol still spikes. When I worked at UMB, there was a couple of profs up there whose offices were like just piles everywhere. But they would say they loved it, that it was comforting to them.
I feel like almost maybe people are afraid.
Or they don't want to admit it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they don't want to admit that what is affecting them is something that they can fix. Because if they have to admit that, then they have to fix it. And they don't want to fix it. They want to pretend it's not even there. Isn't that interesting?
It reminds me, though, of my partner. he'll have his room a mess, and he used to try and convince me that he knew where everything was. But there is a big difference in behaviors living in a more minimalistic room than a room that you can't walk on the floor in.
Yes.
Big difference.
Yes.
Huge difference.
And I also think that it allows people to deal with the other stuff that their brain needs to deal with. And what I mean by that is...
it clears your mind, for
it
sure.
It clears your mind.
Yeah.
And the amount of times we've worked with a client where after the edit has happened, we may not even have it all put away yet. But every time we're there and, you know, a bag goes out or we fill the car or they see stuff go out the door, they feel that as a release. Especially if it was heavily cluttered and it was really affecting them and we're there, you know, because they've put up with it for so long and they're at their wit's end of it. Those people will always tell us that they feel lighter immediately. Even when we talk, when we connect with them for a consultation and we go to the consultation, we talk about the process of what we could do, they feel relief then. So it's super
just
heavy.
The thought that it can be better, mm-hmm. that there's hope for it.
Right,
yeah.
Because in their head, it was a doom pile.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even really possible to fix it.
That's another big thing. When we go to our projects, when we go to a client's house, and I mean, obviously, this is a lot of our type of client, but it's not everybody. When we open totes, when we open bins, more times than not, it is a lot of random,
yes,
random items. And I'm not going to lie, even as an organizer, looking at that, right, I open the lid of a bin and I'm like, ugh, I got to go through all this. It's all random. You don't want to go through all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like people don't even know how to look at a array of items that are all different categories of things and separate them and organize them.
Right.
I genuinely don't believe that very many
people understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think I wrote down when you were talking about the randomness of the bin.
So common.
Because a few of us don't like the random bins.
Yeah.
I actually love the random bins. I'll tell you why. Because it's too much back and forth.
Yeah.
It's the same how sometimes if I recognize that a client is feeling overwhelmed, if they're in the space while we're sorting, I literally will try and get them out of the space where we're sorting and encourage them to come back once it's sorted.
Yeah.
Because what's happened is their brain is registering this to this, to this, to this, and it's just jumping from mm-hmm. one thing to the next. But when they remove themselves and come back to the project when it's at a state where they can look at all the pens together,
yes.
all of the neckties together, all the post-it notes together, that used to be random, then they can clearly think.
Absolutely.
And make decisions.
It's calm and serene. And I also find, which is completely okay, we love it when you guys hang out and work with us, but they don't understand our process.
Right.
And I mean, we're not teaching it right on the job, so
yes.
of course, but I do often find when the client is around, they will pick up something and be like, I've been looking for that, I want to go use it right away. And then 20 minutes later, you see it somewhere
yes.
else and you put it back in its pile because they're excited. They're
yes.
they're seeing stuff they haven't seen in years. They're seeing stuff that they know for a fact. They sometimes are like, oh my goodness, I don't want that.
Or they thought it was lost.
Yeah. That can be quite messy because it doesn't go along with our piles. And it is incredibly overwhelming for any, I've never seen a client not freaked out by the initial pull out of a space
yes.
and just everything everywhere before
yep.
we've got a handle on what's going on, you know what I mean?
And I think that's why. It's
yeah.
not just the quantity, but it's the randomness
and the state of it,
in
yeah.
the quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of talk briefly about when there's a lot or
mm-hmm.
excessive quantities and in between cleans of those excessive quantities, it can feel really overwhelming. But if you actually step back and say, okay, we have 20 towels and I'm, you know, always seeing a big pile of towels on the laundry room floor. So maybe let's go back to how it can really help to get a better handle on how much am I willing or wanting to have
mm-hmm.
to do of laundry, because that's really how you have to think about it.
And that's how you can gauge whether or not you're going to even be getting it done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So what I'm saying is, I'm going to give you a real world example. So Chloe and her boyfriend had been living here, they moved out for a short period of time and then came back for a short period of time, just an interim thing. And when they were here before, it was two additional people in the house, which made four of us. So dishes were piling up quicker, laundry was piling up quicker, and it was becoming to be something that was really interfering with us being able to, you know, live our lives the way we had been. So our fix was to think about how many we actually needed of each of those things. How many plates do we need? How many glasses do we need? How many bowls do we need? How many towels do we need? And then we eliminated all the rest of them. I still have them, but they're not in our rotation. I put them aside. If we need more, we have them, but they're not easy to grab in the cupboard. So now when our dishes are all dirty, it'll take any one person 15, 20 minutes to wash them all.
Yep.
And laundry is a huge problem for people. We know this because we see it every day. So one of the things that I would challenge you is if you're struggling with laundry and it's always backed up and you're always feeling defeated and, you know, people come over and you're like, oh my goodness, I hope they don't go in the mudroom or in the laundry room. What you need to do is take a step back and say, how much time am I willing to invest in laundry? And then you've got to work backwards and say, okay, if I'm only willing to do 8 loads of laundry a week, I can only have 8 loads of laundry available. So if that hurts and you think, how could I realistically do this? Then you need to step back and say, well, why am I coming to this place in the first place? Why am I talking about this? If you've been talking about it because you find it's overwhelming and it's beating you up, then you need to go back and say, okay, I either have to be okay and live with this, or I can make a change. But laundry is something that is not going to ever go away. It's not something that will ever all be done up, just like the dishes. It's like a rotational thing.
Mm-hmm.
You wear it, you dirty it. You wear it, you dirty it. You wash it, you wear it again, you dirty it, you know? So if laundry is a thing for you, how many pairs of pants do you need? How many tops do you need?
Now let's shift gears to overbuying. Keep in mind that you love something the most in the store. There is a difference between how you're going to feel about the item in the store compared to how you're going to feel about the item in your home.
When you're at the store, you're in a different environment too. And you're not, well, if you have a shopping addiction, of course, you're not thinking about where can I put this? Do I have a space for this? Can I afford this? Yeah, you're just thinking, oh, I just want this item. I just want this new item.
I had someone reach out to me once a few years ago who has a shopping addiction. And they said that they were feeling like they were self-sabotaging. And when I asked them what they meant by that, they said that their experience was that they would feel this need to shop. They would shop all the while knowing, if I spend this money on these things, then I don't have money for my rent. Or if I spend this money on these things, I'm not going to have money to buy the nutritious foods I wanted to buy. I'm going to have to buy these other foods
and
instead.
But still buy them.
It's an addiction, 100%. Mm-hmm. Just like a drug addiction. You've got your body saying, I need this, I need this, I need this.
And your brain.
Got your mind saying, no, you don't. That's not good for you.
And that's how you would know, for example, if you're not addicted. Like, when I don't have the extra money, I can just say, you just can't go buy dinner this week. You just can't go buy a new shirt. You'll have to wait till next week. But I can also admit that while shopping, I get that good feeling. It's kind of funny because somebody like me might say to someone with a shopping addiction, well, just don't, it's not that simple.
That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
It's
not that simple for some people.
Yeah.
But also, even aside from the folks who might not struggle with a shopping addiction, we still are all victim of consumerism.
And just excess in general, yeah.
Even if we ourselves aren't the ones consuming, it still finds its way in. The grandparents bring the kids stuff over. Your neighbor brings the bag of clothes they don't want anymore from their closet and they bring them to you. You went to an event and they gave out these goodie bags. Like, it just comes into your house. But if you're also someone who likes to shop, but maybe you're not actually like a shopping addiction type of person, but let's just say you like to shop. If you are that person who wants to go out and get the little dopamine fix and bring it home, all well and good, as long as you've got space for it, mm-hmm. and you've got budget for it. But the cautions are, if you are continually doing that or on any frequency at all doing that, you have to also be making sure stuff is going out. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do that, it backs up.
I actually saw just yesterday somebody had started getting rid of, like throwing out, getting rid of two items in their home every day. And a lot of people were saying, you're gonna not have any stuff, like this is crazy. And, you know, months and months had gone, she was actually kind of debunking all the comments. To be honest, it wasn't even that much more minimal.
Mm.
Like it was, but...
But that's probably because stuff was still coming in.
Exactly, and that's the whole point, right? You can get rid of 5 things a day in your house and you're still going to... You still could get rid of more.
Yeah, you still might only come out even.
Yeah, but yeah. Someone would think, oh, goodness, you're going to get rid of 2 things every single day?
Yeah.
You're not going to have any stuff left.
Yeah.
But you're going to have tons of stuff left, right?
And here's something that I would strongly suggest to people who like to shop for clothes. If you're someone who goes out each season and picks up, you know, a few new things for your wardrobe, I would encourage you to, at that same time, go through your clothes real quick. Is there anything in here I'm not wearing? Is there anything in here I don't like anymore? Even if it's something that you feel you can't get rid of, but you know you won't wear, get it out of your stinking closet.
Yeah.
Get it out of there. Because what happens is, if it doesn't fit you and you are opening your closet and seeing it in there every time, you're beating yourself up every time you see that in there. Take it out.
And if you're someone who happens to fluctuate through sizes, keep a small section of, I really love this, I probably will fit into this at some point again in my life.
Yeah, put it in a storage bin and mark it as such, and put it in the bottom of your closet or put it in your storage room or wherever you're
But absolutely, it. No room, no
Don't
point in seeing it every day.
Up. No.
Yeah.
Because it just tears you down. And I know a lot of people think, well, it motivates me. Does it? Because if it
Heard
does,
that.
How long has it been in there and have you been motivated yet?
Yeah.
Really what's happening is you're feeling terrible about yourself because you're like, I still didn't get into that. I still don't fit into that. And also, you're not giving yourself a real perspective on what you have to wear. If you have items in your closet or in your dresser that don't fit you, when you open it up, it looks like you have tons. But in reality, 80% of them you're never wearing. Be real with yourself and pull out those ones you're not going to wear. And then you have a realistic view of what you do have for clothes. And then if there are holes, then you can go shopping.
That's also, I feel like, another really big problem with specifically clothes. And you could say this about everything, but with clothes, it's a huge problem because of fabrics and fast fashion, what we're seeing. But one thing that really sucks is, and it ties into everything, it ties into the fact that our country's a melting pot. We all want to dress the same. If we see a celebrity wearing leather pants, they're going to be sold out, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. It's like, you probably wouldn't have even put those pants on if you didn't see so-and-so wearing them, right?
You're influenced so much.
And that really adds to the clutter and to the crazy amount of clothes we don't know what to do with. If we, and this is so much easier said than done, even I'm guilty of this, but if we individually bought all our items, but again, we're talking about clothes, with intention, I actually like this. This is my stuff. Do you know what I mean?
This will go with the other things.
Exactly.
I have.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We wear what everyone else is wearing, and then 3 months later it changes. And so your closet has tons of clothes in it that you're never going to wear because they were only
in
trend
fashion for a season.
And that's a mess, especially since you look so much better when you're wearing what you really want to anyway.
Yes.
I know that we all have 1 or 2 items in our closet that we will always love and always wear. They could all be like that.
That's it.
That's
Imagine
the thing, right?
Opening up your closet doors and not seeing the clothes that were too small, too big,
yeah.
Worn out, faded, dated, that you're keeping in there to fool yourself into thinking you have a lot of clothes. But if the reality is, if they weren't in there, it might look sparse, but then you would have a real perspective on what you have to wear.
If we look at a company like Shein, for example, just basically because it's probably one of the leading companies doing this right now, you can buy like enough clothes for 3 or 4 people off these websites for like a couple $100s.
Yes.
That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And they don't hold up, but they don't need to because the trend's not going to hold
up. That's it. yes, you're ordering it online, so maybe there isn't, you know, all of the overhead and footprint of the building and all of that, but they have to have a warehouse, they have to have vehicles that transport them, they have to have vehicles that run around, pick them up to return them. Like, there is a lot of logistics around being able to get you your $4 shirt to your house in 3 days.
Exactly.
I feel like it would be really great for people to educate themselves on what happens to their fast fashion when they put it in their donate bin too.
When you really look at, you know, who we're being influenced by, this is all being set up to make us fail, to make us buy too much, to make us, right? But once you understand that, once you come to a place of understanding, then you can kind of look at it in a different perspective.
You can be like, oh, they're having a sale, and move on.
Exactly.
Now, because we're talking about this, let's talk to the people who are stocking a gift closet. Now, this is going to be a touchy one, because I understand that people are going to say, yes, but I got all these gifts for less expensive. But to buy something, again, because it's marked down, is like, I'm trying to think of an example, especially when you don't even have someone in mind for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're just like, oh, well, this is a little boy thing and it's marked down, so I'll get this. And when I need a little boy gift, I'll have a little boy gift. Like, think about that for a second.
Well, number one, it's not personalized at all.
No, it's not at all.
No.
You just bought this
Which
thing
is the whole point
because
of a gift.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
And now you're going to give it to this other family that are going to have to look after it and manage it and take care of it because you wanted to feel good about buying something $17 off.
And you have to find a place to store it until then.
You have to care for it. You have to keep it cleaned up. You have to make sure that it's, you know.
Oh, and the amount of times we've thrown out what were to be gifts.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, and that's the main probably reason why somebody like you is bringing this up, because
yes,
you see it happening, right?
I see it all the time.
You know, a nice puzzle box that used to be a nice puzzle box is now not even holding its shape anymore. It's ripped, whatever. Probably almost every day you see that.
I've even seen, actually in my own world, I have even seen people buy a pair of pants that they loved. So then they went back to the store and bought like 6 more pairs of those pants. And then they put them up in their closet for when the other pants that they love wear out, they can go to their stash and get those. But the problem with that is the stash is now 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The pants aren't even anywhere near being able to be worn, because you would look like a fool wearing the pants that are now so out of style. Like,
of course, yeah.
I understand how people get caught in it, but I also understand and witness every week, multiple times, the implications of shopping that way. If you don't need something in that store, you really have no business going in that store.
And that's, I avoid the mall entirely. I avoid, because I know that I'm just going to want to, and that sucks, right? Like, sure.
It does suck.
But it doesn't suck as much as, like, I know in my mind that I don't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely nothing in the world except, like, maybe get, like, a new tube of toothpaste. I don't need to go buy anything, right?
Yes.
But if I were to go to the mall today, or to a clothing store,
you'd come out with something.
I probably would buy something. Would I need it? No. Would I think it was cute? Yes.
Now, I think it's important to say that there's nothing wrong with going shopping. Like, there really isn't. If you know, even if it's like fun and you want to just go and browse and see what the trends are and whatever.
Until it's affecting your everyday life.
Yes. Because if you don't have a problem and things aren't backing up, or you don't have excess, then you don't even have to listen to anything we've got to say.
Yep.
But the reality is, most people who are listening are here because stuff is a problem. So if stuff is a problem, stay the heck out of those stores.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you need something and you're going in specifically because you need a new pair of black tights, go get the black tights and get the heck out of that store.
Mm-hmm. And it's harsh, but
it's true.
It's the only way. It's the only way to break the cycle.
Yeah.
And it needs to be broken.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going downhill in a lot of ways.
And you know what? We haven't even talked really. We talked briefly about Shein, but we have not really talked about online shopping.
And yes, and the even just the plastic, let alone the emissions from transportation, like,
or the ease at which you can go add to cart. The computer remembers your credit card number. So once you've got them in the cart, you're smooth sailing from there.
And just like I said before, just to circle back just really quick, the reason that this is so dangerous is because you can't see the process in which it's coming to you. If you could see the process, you probably wouldn't order it. Mm-hmm. If you could see the back of some restaurants you eat at, you probably wouldn't eat there. It's the exact same thing. We don't know what we're doing to our earth because we aren't shown it. Society is set up in a way for us nowadays that we don't have to see what we're doing.
And I feel like they, quote unquote, they don't want us to.
No, and that's the whole idea, right? But
because if we did, then we would all be screaming and hollering.
Yeah.
But the tip I wanted to give about online shopping is I started doing this a number of years ago. If I keep a list, actually I have one of them over there for my business. I keep a list of things I want. Not things I have to have, but things I would like to have. And if I see it on sale, I have my personal ones in my purse, my work ones there. If I see it on sale, I'm going to go get it. Mm-hmm. If I am out and about somewhere and, you know, I see it and it seems like it's a good price, maybe it's not on sale, but I know it's a good price, then I'll pick it up.
And if you had got gifted, just say, or if you got a little bit of extra money, you would go to your list and maybe buy something on the list instead of just go out with your money.
That's my point.
To spend your money because you got money.
So instead of going right to, go ahead and put it in your cart if you want to, because the next time you log on to that store, it'll still be there and maybe it'll still be something that calls to you. But don't hit submit or pay right away. Load it in the cart, walk away from it for the day, couple days, whatever. And even if it's only $7, like get yourself in the habit of reframing, do I need this thing?
And if you still want something,
a couple days
weeks,
later,
months later, you want it.
And it's in your budget, get it.
And that also goes to when you're in the store and you randomly see something and you're standing there thinking about buying it, but you didn't expect to even see it when you walked in, didn't even know what it was or whatever. That is your first inclination. If you were not already planning on buying it, put it back.
Yes.
You can come back if you can't stop thinking about it.
Yes.
But chances are you're not going to keep thinking about it. You know what I mean? It is useless to buy something before you have wanted it.
Yeah. 100%.
Completely useless. It's not even worth it.
That's the thing.
Instant gratification.
And it's not worth it because I feel like sometimes people, they know that this is a thing I feel like, but they don't really let it sink in that you trying to ride the dopamine fix more than you are serving a need that you have, you know? So if it's something that you keep coming back to and your mind keeps going to and you're not...
That will serve you.
That thing is something that is important to you and you need... You don't need it, but you want to try and figure out a way to acquire it, you know? But to try and get yourself away from the impulsivity is really important. Because if you get away from the impulsivity, you can make clearer, more realistic decisions, you know?
Absolutely. Logical decisions, yes.
Instead of just, ooh, this is going to feel really good.
And that's another thing. Our brains cannot mix emotion and logic. If you are feeling an emotional feeling about something, which is the exact same thing as seeing something shiny on a shelf at the store that you didn't expect to see, that's a feeling. Right? That's not like walking into a store and, for example, seeing toothpaste and saying, oops, I forgot. I just ran out of toothpaste. I need to pick that up. Right? That's seeing something that you just want. That's an emotion. That's not logic, right?
Yes.
Like toothpaste would be logic.
Yes.
So you're just, there's an emotion in you that'll feel good. I'll feel happy if I buy that. I'll look cool if I buy that, whatever. Our brains, when we're thinking about something emotional, when we're sad, when we're angry, when we're happy, we're excited, we cannot think logically about what to do. It literally does not work. We cannot do both.
There's only room for that one emotion. Yeah.
Emotion or logic.
Yeah.
So, and that's just like when you're really upset, we're going off track, but it's important to understand when you're going all doom and gloom talking about, well, this is going to be terrible, blah, blah, blah. you're saying that because you're in an emotional state right now and you cannot logically figure that out.
Yes. But if you can walk away from it and give it time and think about it without being in front of it where there's no emotion.
Absolutely.
You can be logical about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, try not to let your emotion steer while you're out.
Yeah.
Looking at stuff to buy.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's so hard. And we're trying to come from a place of understanding that as well as being upfront and, you know, stern by trying to say, you still don't need this.
I think the other thing we should talk about is insight into what it is that you're doing and your family are doing in your house on the daily that is contributing to the mess, and how people should be mindful of what they are doing. Like, if Mitchell's constantly putting his clothes on the floor in a particular spot, put a hamper right there.
Yeah.
If your husband's piling crap on your desk, put a basket there. He's got to put it, if he wants to put it on there, no problem. It's got to go in that basket. That basket fills up, it's got to get emptied.
Right.
Let's talk about that stuff.
So if you have a partner who likes to, say, fish or has just an activity that they do outside of work and it's making a mess when they come home. Say your husband's coming home from fishing and
throwing all of his stash,
just leaving it, coming up with systems that correlate to those needs.
Yes. To those habits.
Maybe we can hang the fishing rod up in the entryway. That'll look like a nice decoration and it's functional.
A spot where they can drop their tackle box and their net and their vest and whatever else they might have. There's so many clues in those stashes.
Yeah.
Like, for those that have heard us talk about the cluttering styles, they'll recognize these, but understanding our habits and things that we're doing regularly are so much evidence into how we can set up systems that will
change it. Yeah.
So that, let's say, for example, like your example with the fishing stuff, if they're coming in and they're putting it in a different spot every time, that's going to be a little trickier.
Yeah.
But if they're coming in and they're putting it in the exact same spot every time, like maybe it's just inside the door because their arms are full and they just dump it there, then that's where the fishing stuff should go.
Yeah.
If they are, you know, never changing the, I don't know, they're not dumping over the coffee beans into the decanter anymore, then don't decant. Like, go with those habits and go with those things that they're doing instinctively, because if you try and change them, you're just going to keep coming back to feeling like you
exactly
failed. Because you can't make them do it.
No.
You can tell them all day long that you want to improve the way your house functions and feels, but they're not the ones with the problem. You are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't just dump the fishing stuff. But if you want to try and improve how things are being kept, then looking for how things are working now, well, or how things are functioning, they may not actually be quote unquote working. But look for those clues. If it's paper that's constantly piling up by the phone, then put a recycle bin there.
As your life changes, because it will, we're constantly going through different stages in our lives, those systems will change. And it's nice to remember that, you know, I probably won't have to keep my fishing stuff by the door for years, because that system is going to change. I'm not going to have super young kids for long. I'm not going to be just in this fresh empty nest type of house. I am going to get comfortable with it.
Things
are going to change, constantly changing. And so once that system is no longer working for you, no longer serving your everyday life, find the root again, the new root problem, and we can just come up with a new system. That's a beautiful thing about it, I think.
It is. And it's also an important thing for people to know, because I feel like people think organization is an act.
Yeah, just one time thing.
It's not. Organization is an ongoing process that evolves all the time.
Yeah.
Based on habits that change, based on our lives that change, You could have gotten a new job, you could have a new baby, your kids could have moved out, your dad moves in with you. Like, there's so much you could go through about a depression. Like, there's just so many factors.
And you never know what life's going to throw at you.
No, you don't. And to be mindful of the fact that it isn't just a thing that you do one time and then it should be fixed. Or if it doesn't, then you're like, well, I must have did it wrong, Chloe and Mindy, because I did it and it, like, I'm still struggling. You're struggling because your systems need to be tweaked.
This is why we implemented maintenance.
Yes.
To the business. But, and what we realized there and why we had to do that is because not everybody is capable.
And not everyone
of keeping
wants
up.
To.
No, not everybody has the wants to make the time. Not everybody can make the time.
Some people just can't, even if they had the time. Mm-hmm. Their brain just doesn't work that way. They could be chronically disorganized from brain injury, from
could be anything.
Dementia, from depression, PTSD,
but,
anything.
But your home still needs to be maintained.
Yes. So we talked a lot about shopping. We talked a lot about clutter. We talked a lot about the psychology of what clutter does to us. I feel like the content has been really pertinent to the foundation series in our courses. So I hope that people found great value in what we had to say. And if you are interested in hearing more of the content about the implications of the psychology of cluttering, then you can find all of those in our foundation series. And our first course is called 101 Introduction to Clutter, and it is absolutely free. I feel like shopping was really a necessity to talk about when it comes to cluttering, because it really is the engine behind how the clutter is happening.
And we need to make a whole separate course on that. We dip in there a little bit in boundaries and routines, which is also listed in our masterclass, but we would really love to make a whole course just on shopping in general, because there is so much involved.
And it's also, I feel like, a lot of the root of why clutter is happening.
Yeah. Especially in our modern day today.
Yes. And it has crept up on you. So don't beat yourself up about it. I mean, as mentioned in 101 Introduction to Clutter, there are so many influences that are coming at you that have contributed to how you've gotten to a place where things are coming from a store to your house.
And that's really what this is. This is, we've grown up in a system that is designed to make us overbuy, to make us not have enough money, to make, you know what I mean?
Everything we have to have, and we have to have it right now.
So understanding that you can't even watch an episode of TV without getting pushed to buy a new lotion is a great way to give yourself grace here. And, you know, all we can really do while living in the system, the way that it's set up to make us buy more and to make us fail, is to understand how it is set up and to understand that all we can do is our best to reduce our footprint in every way.
We can't stop the messaging that's coming at us.
No.
But we can control what we do with the messaging. Mm-hmm.